And I want to talk a few minutes tonight about our desperate need for the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, in our church, in the saints of the living God. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I think most of you know it by heart. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. I do not believe, and you have heard me say it over and over again, that the Holy Ghost is a one-time experience. That the baptism of the Holy Ghost is merely a ticket to take us to heaven. We get this ticket and we hide it away somewhere so that when the trumpet blows, we'll go find it and make sure that we have our ticket all ready to give to the keeper of the door, and he's going to let us in. Because, well, I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 minutes ago. No, I've got to be freshly full of the Holy Ghost. I do not believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a one-time experience. Amen. Amen. And I don't believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the one and only spiritual experience that we will ever receive as children of God. It is not the one and only experience we will receive. If we hunger after God, God has more for us. But I do believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the all-important experience, and I believe it opens the door to myriad other experiences to follow. Why is it that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and right into the first chapter of Acts all record these words of John the Baptist? I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there comes one after me who is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. He's greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoelaces. Amen. And so we have that, the importance of it showing, because it's recorded in all those places. I think that's important. And not only that, but Jesus talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in John chapter 14. And if that's not enough, he talked about it again in John 15. And by the way, he talked about it again and again and again in John chapter 16. He wants us to understand that he has a gift for us, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the number one experience that he has promised. Because you find it prophesied in the Old Testament. You find it fulfilled in the New Testament. You hear Isaiah say, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. You hear Joel the prophet say, recorded in chapter 2, verse 28, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And so on. And then you read about it again in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, where it's recorded where Jesus said, don't go and preach until you have been endued with power from on high. I had an uncle one time that left a religious Lutheran family, and he said, this is God. And he showed them his two hands. He left the home, left the family, and he went out to strike it rich. And he did. To the best of my knowledge, he died a millionaire. And he has several children that he taught how to be millionaires. But anyway, my uncle said to me, what makes you think of all the hundreds of religion in the world that yours is the only one that's right? Well, of course, that might take you off guard for a second, but a second was over and I answered. I answered because Jesus said, don't anybody go out and preach until you've been endued with power from on high. Don't anybody go out and preach until you've talked in other tongues. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. I know a lot of people don't like me for saying that, but I'm just quoting what Jesus said. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when we follow up on Jesus' words, and we follow up on the fulfillment of those prophecies, we follow up on the fulfillment of the words of John the Baptist recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, we find out that they were all gathered together in the upper room, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. What I'm saying to you tonight is, God has, I suppose, a million, hyperbolically speaking, spiritual experiences for all of his children. But this one experience is prophesied in the Old Testament. This one experience is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. There's no doubt about it. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost with a sign of speaking another tongue. And we've got it tonight. And I'm thrilled about it. And I'm not letting anybody take it away from me. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to nourish it, nurture it. Praise the Lord. I know of no greater experience than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To my knowledge. Amen. Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. You know what this is?
Yes.
This is flesh.
Yes.
This is flesh. You know where he poured out his Spirit? On my flesh.
Yes.
On your flesh. Somebody said to me one time, well, you receive the Holy Ghost in your spirit. No. The Bible says you receive it on your flesh.
Yes.
Well, that's crazy doctrine, isn't it? Well, it's a Bible doctrine, that's all. It says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And then he said, if that's not enough, we're two or three witnesses, you know, you got it, so I'll give you another witness then from Scripture. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Where does the Holy Ghost dwell? It dwells in your body. It dwells in my body. Praise the Lord. Wherever else it dwells, fine. But I have specific scriptures that tell me the Holy Ghost falls upon flesh and the Holy Ghost fills a body. Praise the Lord. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And in Romans 8:11, we read this, that when the Holy Ghost comes on you, when the Holy Ghost comes in you, it quickens your mortal body. It quickens it. That old body that had such propensities to sin is now quickened to do righteousness, to live right and to live holy.
Yes.
Praise God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God for that quickening spirit.
Yes.
I know a lot of people think it refers to the resurrection of our bodies from the grave, and it probably does, but that's not all, because if you want to put it in context, Romans chapter 11 is not talking about the resurrection of the dead from the grave. It's talking about the resurrection of dead works to do living works unto God. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the Holy Ghost on my flesh, in my body, quickening me. Praise the Lord. This is such an important experience in my book because it's prophesied in the Old Testament. Because because God said, I'm going to do it. And he said, nobody can stop me from doing what I plan to do. And he planned to pour out the Holy Ghost. And he prophesied it. Praise the Lord. And he poured it out. And if we don't want it, he'll pour it out somewhere else. Because he cannot lie. He doesn't change. And the scripture cannot be broken. Amen. What in the world was it? Or what from heaven was it? Or what from God was it? What did Jesus do that changed the apostles' lives? That turned them from fearful, cowering men into those bold preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What was it? It was right after their experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They went out and preached. Amen. What was it that turned Saul the Pharisee into a brand new man? It was the Holy Ghost. What was it that changed you from what you were to what you are today? It was your experience with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody say amen to that?
Yeah.
Amen. He changed you. He changed me. He changed all of us. Praise the Lord. I've come to the conclusion that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an Old Testament prophesied, New Testament fulfilled, Bible-based, beautiful blessing from God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't miss it. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, oh my, make it tonight. And if you've let yours drain away or leak out, fill her up tonight. There's no rationing on the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Remember the war days when you had to go and give them your A stamp or your B stamp to get your 5 gallons of gas, and that's all you got. So you looked around for some kerosene and mixed it with some white gas and put it in the gas tank and started the engine, and it ran till the fuel pump little glass was empty, and then all of a sudden the engine started pinging and smoking and so on. Well, God's not rationing out the Holy Ghost. He's pouring it out. He's pouring it out. We don't have to get 5 gallons. We can get a tank full. Praise the Lord. Come to the altar and say, fill her up, Lord. What a sound. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is tongues the only manifestation of the Holy Ghost? A lot of Pentecostals seem to think so. Well, it may be the basic manifestation of the Holy Ghost, but it's not the only manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Oh, no. What about prophecy? The Bible says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, don't raise your hands, but if I asked how many here received the Holy Ghost, you'd raise your hands. Everybody that received the Holy Ghost, raise your hands. I'll say, how many talked in tongues, spoke in tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance when you received the Holy Ghost? And we'd raise our hands. But it says, and prophesied. How many of us spoke in tongues and prophesied when we received the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about our desperate need for the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. What about the visions and the dreams that are in the same prophecy as receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues are in? If I asked you, how many have had a vision today? How many have had a dream last night? And so on. It would become a little sparse. But see, these things are in the Bible. Yes. And I don't want to come short of what God has offered and prophesied and has for us.
Amen.
Ooh, I hope you stick with me. I got something to say. Amen. I want to stir us up. You see, there's a danger of denominationalizing.
Yes.
Martin Luther got the mighty revelation of justification by faith, or at least the dormant, sleeping revelation. The church put it to sleep. But anyway, it came alive in his soul, and he couldn't rest. He was willing to give his life to keep and maintain that doctrine. But what happened? They built a church around that doctrine. And then when somebody came along and said, well, you're supposed to baptize by immersion. We're this denomination. And what they had was right, what they had was true, but they failed to go on and get all that God had for them. And so they denominationalized. And then the next church couldn't get the other church to join them, so they had a split. I think church splits are good. They had a church split. Some church splits are good. Certain church splits are good. When you have to split off to go on with God, you better split off. But make sure you're going on with God and not with your own imagination. I'm not encouraging church splits. I'm just saying, in history we have these church splits. Then we had these people that came along and believed in baptism by immersion. And so they split off from those that sprinkled babies. And the others wouldn't come along. So they grew on that doctrine and won more converts. And then they denominationalized and built 4 walls around their doctrine. Then somebody else came along and said, woo, they're getting the Holy Ghost over there. And some left and went on and received the Holy Ghost. And then they started preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the sign of speaking in other tongues. They had a church split again. But then the people that received the Holy Ghost were in danger of building 4 walls around their doctrine, around their little group. And they became denominationalized, sometimes known as Pentecostals. Oh, how heck careful we have to be that we don't plateau, stagnate, denominationalize. When God has more for us, I'm going after it. I want more. I want the power of God in my life. Praise the Lord. So, another church group. Guy comes running through camp. I got it! I got it! I got it! I got the revelation of baptism in Jesus' name. We had another church group.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
They were baptizing in Jesus' name. And now we're in the danger of building walls around elder doctrine. Hey, look, I'm not bound by any organization or any denomination. If somebody can show me more truth in this Holy Bible. I want it. I want it. And pray for me that I'll see it. And pray for me that I'll get it. I'm saying this in the simplicity of my heart and in the sincerity of my heart. I want what God has for us. If He's got more visions and more revelations and more dreams for us and prophecies for us, oh, saints of God, let's not stagnate. Let's not plateau. Let's not sit in a denomination and dry up. Praise the Lord. Amen. What else is this Holy Ghost for? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall receive power. How many need more power in their lives?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I think the Holy Ghost is to make us what we need to be so we can do what we need to do. We need to become what we must be if we're going to do what we must do. If you want to fly and soar through the airs, you've either got to become a bird or an airplane.
Yes.
If you're going to live under the water, you've got to become some kind of a sea creature, fish, something like that, right? And if you're going to become a Christian, you're going to have to change. You're going to have to be born again.
Yes.
And that's what we have tonight. We have the new birth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody says, now, and this is really a profound question, you know. Among evolutionists, that is. Among unbelievers, that is. What came first? The chicken or the egg? What came first? The chicken? Does anybody here know? Yeah. Thank you, brother. He knows. I think everybody knows that the chicken came first. Are we sinners because we sin? Or do we sin because we're sinners? That's like saying, do we lay eggs because we're chickens? Or are we chickens because we lay eggs? Do I go witnessing? Or am I a witness? Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me.
Amen.
Let's see. 8:35, Wednesday night, December what? No, December. September 25th. We're all going witnessing. Church dismissed. We're all going witnessing. Yeah, you don't go witnessing. You are a witness.
Yes.
We are witnesses. The Holy Ghost made us witnesses.
Amen.
Something we weren't before. Praise the Lord. So, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Now, it's the Holy Ghost that makes the difference. And it causes us to cease going witnessing. And it makes us witnesses wherever we go. Like the guy who was in I told you this before, but he was invited out to dinner with some of the other guy's friends, you know. He was a Christian man, and this friend who invited him knew he was a Christian man, and all his friends there around the table were smoking, telling dirty stories and everything. The friend that invited the Christian was embarrassed, and he said, does this environment bother you? He just smiled and said, no, I bring my own environment with me. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We live in a Holy Ghost environment, and we don't go witnessing. We are witnesses in the university. We're witnesses on the job. We're witnesses in school. We're witnesses in the mall. Wherever we are, wherever anybody can see you or talk to you, you are a witness because you have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, you shall be witnesses after you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes that witnessing is supernatural, you know. Maybe you could say it all is, but I mean spectacularly supernatural sometimes. How about Philip? how did he happen to witness to that Ethiopian eunuch riding his chariot through the desert? Supernaturally. Supernaturally. An angel appeared to Philip and said, arise and go. Arise and go, Philip. There's a man that I want you to witness to, riding in a chariot through the desert. He's going to take the gospel back to Ethiopia. This gospel's going in all the world. And supernaturally, Philip witnessed. And by the way, when he was done witnessing,
The Spirit carried him away, and he was seen no more in those parts. Supernatural witnesses. Well, Brother Tamber, that's in the Bible, the Holy Bible. You know, that's in the Bible days. Well, I hope nobody thinks that I am arrogant, boasting, or proud tonight, but I just want to tell you a couple things that I intend to be for your encouragement. One Wednesday afternoon, reading, praying before the Lord for the Wednesday night Bible study, I had a vision. It was a vision just as clear as this church full of people tonight. I saw a police car in Augusta, Wisconsin. I saw the chief of police in the window. I saw another man in the almost darkness on the other seat. Didn't know the man. I saw in the vision where he crossed right in front of me, pulled in front of City Hall and stopped. And the vision ended. I said to my wife, take choir right after Bible study. I am rushing to Augusta. I drove into Augusta. My headlights on my little 63 Comet were on bright. And right when I got to the block before City Hall, a red police car with the chief right in it pulled right out in front of me. And it was exactly fulfilled as the vision was that I had. And it pulled in front of City Hall. I pulled up in front of the police car, jumped out of my car, went up to the police car, and he said, Reverend Tamber, you're just the man I want to see. I've got a fella here who's in trouble and he needs help. Well, to make a long story short, that man was Ray Frankenberger, and he's a Holy Ghost filled, Jesus name baptized Christian today who received the Holy Ghost in the other building right there in front of the altar. He was a Catholic man who had never been in a Pentecostal church in his life. He came to the altar, he knelt down, he started to pray, he did the sign of the cross, and he started to shake, and he slapped his face to regain his composure, and he slipped and he fell over, and he finally regained his composure, and he got up on his knees, and he did the sign of the cross again, or whatever you call that, and he finally fell over speaking in tongues and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Never had been in a Pentecostal church before. He got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he's serving God today. Brother Keeler knows him well. Praise the Lord. In fact, he's the man that got Brother Keeler to church. It's all supernatural. That's the way it happened. God said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. I believe in supernatural witnessing. I was in the house one day, and I said to my wife, honey, we're going to Mr. Steak to eat today. Oh. And I said, we're going to meet a waitress there. Do you want to make a long story short? Gail Dolce was that waitress. She is in this church today. Her husband's in this church today. John and Becky are in this church today. It was all supernatural. I saw a vision. I believe in supernatural visions. I believe in supernatural witnessing. Why should I not? And wouldn't the devil like to speak in my ear and put in my brain, you proud, arrogant person telling people how spiritual you are. Wouldn't the devil like to stop my mouth? Wouldn't the devil like to keep me from telling you something that would encourage you to get down in your face before God and trust him for some supernatural vision. He's got them for us. Praise the Lord. Just one more quick one. We came home from seeing Brother and Sister Bennett in Knoxville, Iowa, and it was late Saturday night. I had to get up and preach the next morning and the next night, and we were at the corner of 37 and Claremont Ave, and the Sacred Heart Hospital is just to the oblique right. And I had a tug in my heart, and I stopped the car, and I said to my wife, honey, we have got to go to the hospital. I just got this tugging in my heart. Didn't have a vision. I just had a pulling, like a magnet was pulling me there. I said, well, we might as well go home. I don't know who to see there. We drove home, opened the garage door, and the telephone was ringing off the hook. Ran in, answered the telephone. Guess what? Hurry to the hospital. Flo is dying. She needs prayer immediately. We didn't even unpack. We rushed right up to the hospital, going up the elevator. And I said, oh, God, I'm scared to death. What can I do? A lady's dying. They're calling for me to pray. I don't have any power. I don't have anything. I forgot. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I went in there trembling, scared. But once I got in that room, the Holy Ghost came on me. The husband and the son were sitting there waiting for their mother to die. She was in the oxygen mask, and she was going... Just like that, if not 100 times worse. Something came over me. I went to the husband. I said, "Do you believe that if we pray, God can raise your wife up?" Then he said, "Uh-huh." And I said to the young man, I said, "That's your mother. Will you believe God with me and we'll pray for your mother that God will raise her up out of this bed?" Then I turned to Janelda, Flo's sister, and I said, "Let's pray." And my wife, Janelda, and those two all prayed in that room, and the Holy Ghost came down. I couldn't tell you a lie about this story. I'm telling you the names of the people. My wife is sitting right here, and there may be others that know this story backward and forward. To make a long story short, Flo Kastner came to church the very next morning without an oxygen mask on and received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Me telling these stories is no different than you meeting a sinner on the street or in the grocery store or wherever and beginning to testify to them of what Jesus Christ has done for you and how He supernaturally, miraculously changed your life. You know how some of them react? Some of them react by saying to you, "Oh, you just think you're better than I am. You're a holier-than-thou person." So I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to tell what God has done. I'm going to tell of His marvelous, wonderful works. In fact, the book of Psalms tells us to tell it so that our children know about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is real, Sister Lori Remington. You say it. Amen. You say it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought." Listen to that. Now that's bad instructions, isn't it? That's not what I learned in Bible college. Take a lot of thought. Get a lot of notes ready. And so on and so on. But listen to what Jesus is saying here, and then we'll put it all in perspective. "When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which is in you." It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that is in you. We depend altogether too much on our education. We depend altogether too much on our intellect. We depend altogether too much on our savvy. We sure do. What we need to do is learn to depend on the Holy Ghost and expect some supernatural witnessing when we get out there. Just be full of the Word of God. Be full of the Holy Ghost. And let God talk to you and tell you what to say. I'll never forget the time. Right here in Eau Claire, we stood before the court commissioner. And I had to appear in court. I wasn't subpoenaed, but another man was. He came crashing through the door. And he just pointed his finger at everybody and looked at everybody in that courtroom setting. And he just like he was memorizing your face. "And I'll kill you down the next alley I meet you in. I'll kill you the next time I see you. I'll never forget it. I was there." He looked in my face, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost hit me. This right here in Eau Claire, before the court commissioner. I jumped out of my chair. I ran up and I met that strong, husky man who with a blow or two could have driven me through the ground. I stood there and I said, "You were once a Christian. Your mother's praying for you tonight. You're a backslider." He went, scared to death. And when it was all over, my wife and I went down to the car on Barstow Street. I'll never forget it. Here he came, walking toward us. And we're human too, you know. We might be full of the Holy Ghost, but we're also human. Man, oh man. You want to crawl into the car, jump into some sewer hole, run,
or whatever, here he came. And he got closer and closer. And when he got right up to us, he just went like this. And he walked on his way. I thought, oh God. Oh God. I remember Elijah. How he was full of the Holy Ghost and yes. He was running. Yes. You know. But here this man did obeisance to us. I couldn't believe it, but I have to believe it had happened. Amen. My wife was there with me. You know, it is not ye that speak. I've had that experience. We need those experiences. Yeah. It is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Open your mouth somewhere, it says, and I'll fill it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can't imagine Peter on the day of Pentecost going like this, Brother Bennett. Oh, man. Hey, Matthew, have you seen my sermon notes? James, have you got them? Where are my sermon notes? I can't imagine Peter doing that. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, Peter is dead. Peter is dead and gone. But the Holy Ghost that was in Peter is alive and well. And it's in this church tonight. Praise the Lord. He just wants to come down and fill us up. Fill us up with His presence and His Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you something else. With witchcraft, Satanism, and the New Age movement just making advances, our desperate need is for the Holy Ghost in our lives. I'll tell you, there's something that witchcraft can't stand against. There's something that the Satan worshipers can't stand against. Remember, Brother Bennett told us a story about when he was over at Brother Booker's church in West Bend, Wisconsin, and there was some commotion, and he just got everybody praising the Lord, and the commotion ended. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost. I can't remember the story exactly, but the Holy Ghost did drove it all away. Yes. Hallelujah. Then some pessimist came to me and said, you're fighting a losing battle. I said, well, what do you mean I'm fighting a losing battle? Thanks again to God who's giveth us the victory. Yes. I've got the victory. Yeah. I'm not fighting a losing battle. He said, oh yes, you are. He said, the Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and you're not going to stop it with all your positive preaching and thinking. Evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. He said, it's prophesied. You can't break the scripture. I said, hell is prophesied too. But I'm not part of that crowd. I'm part of another number. I'm in that blood wash number. I don't fit in that prophecy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I still maintain my Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I'm not going to hell, even if it is prophesied. Oh, hallelujah. Besides that, he said, occupy till I come. And I'm just going to go right on occupying until Jesus comes. Praise the Lord. Well, what can we do, Brother Tambor, to get more of this Holy Ghost and more of this power and not stagnate or plateau or denominationalize? What can we do to prevent all that? Well, I think we can read our Bibles probably more than we do. And we probably find more time to pray if we cross a few other things out of our lives and get some priorities straight. I think we could pray more and read our Bibles more. But we don't have time to read the whole story, but let me just comment on Luke 16:18b, which says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. How many have ever read that in the Bible? For the children, now Jesus said this. He said, the children of this unsaved, ungodly world are wiser in their generation, or in their generation wiser than the children of light. Boy, that's humiliating, isn't it? I mean, man, I've got my BA, I've got some more degrees, and I got my PhD, and I'm just saying this, you know. And Jesus comes along and says, they're smarter than I am? No, that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say they're smarter than you are. finish your college. He didn't say that. He didn't say they were smarter than you. He said they're wiser in their generation than the children of light. I don't think this world's as smart as we are. I don't think anybody that smokes cigarettes until his nicotine causes lung cancer, he's got to have one up and he still doesn't quit, and he has the other one up and then he's buried. I don't think he's as smart as I am. No. Do you know the statistics used to say, when I had the most recent statistics at that time, that less than 1% of people who have lung cancer are Christians. Less than 1% of Christians get lung cancer. So it's all the cigarette smokers that get it then, isn't it? And isn't it wonderful that God told the church long before they knew that it caused lung cancer, you shouldn't be doing that? Fantastic. I love the revelation of God's word. Praise the Lord. The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I don't think that means that the world is smarter than we are. And anybody that starts drinking and drinking and drinking until they get cirrhosis of the liver and finally die, I don't call him very smart.
Right.
And I don't call these liars and cheaters that we have from one position in the world to another smart. They get caught and end up in jail, in prison. I don't call people that hate their wives, hate their husbands, hate their parents, hate their children, and break things up. I don't think they're smart. I think we are the smartest people in the world. I think we're the wisest people in the world, except for this one thing that Jesus was talking about. Let me tell you what he was talking about, because he said you can't serve two masters. And that's what a lot of Christians are trying to do. That's how he ended his sermon here. He said, no man can serve two masters, not even the children of light. You can't serve God and the world, God and man. Can't do it. You got to get in or out. Because you can be a tare and look like a wheat, but when judgment day comes, it's going to be separated. And then the game is over. The hypocrisy is ended. Amen. Jesus meant they go more seriously after the riches of this world than some saints do the riches of heaven. Now, if we could just read Luke 16, 8b and pray over that and say, God, Jesus, help me. I don't want to be less serious about the riches of heaven than the world is about the riches of the world. Amen. I think it was Dwight L. Moody that asked the question. Maybe it was Billy Sunday, maybe it was somebody else, but maybe some of you know. What could God do if he had one man totally surrendered to him? Totally surrendered to him. Maybe it's somebody here tonight. Who knows? Who knows? You see, who's going to sit at his right hand and his left hand has not been decided yet. It may be the Apostle Paul, or it may be that little widow that put two mites in the offering in the temple. We don't know. Or it may be somebody here. Whoever will surrender themselves the most to God. What could God do with one man that was 100% totally surrendered to him? Well, saints, let me close with this encouraging word. Let's go for it.
Amen.
Let's go for more spirituality, deeper depths, higher heights in the Lord. Praise the Lord. No matter what the devil says, let's keep going on. We got a good thing going. We've been justified by faith. We've been baptized by immersion. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. We've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoken in another tongue. But we still have some things before us that we can reach out for and press on to.
Amen.
More supernatural Holy Ghost in our lives. We have a desperate need for the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And I think it's becoming more and more desperate as the earth becomes more and more wicked. Amen. You know, it ended up the first time with just Noah and his family. 8 people. I want to be one of the 8. Woo! If it gets down to 5, I want to be one of the 5.
Amen.
And if the race gets so tight and close, it's down to 2, I want to be the winner.
Yes.
We can all feel that way. There won't be just one winner. We're all going to win, aren't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we sing, I'm going to keep on holding on. Keep on holding on. The devil may try to turn me around, but I'm going to keep on going on, holding on, traveling on. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost in your life tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ann Apker called me up. She heard me testify that I lost my glasses and I couldn't find them, and I finally got down and did what I should have done first. I prayed. Can you imagine praying for your lost glasses? Why don't you just pray for divine healing and you won't need them? So I prayed for my lost glasses. And I came out of the prayer room right over here, Parsons, and I said, my wife was sitting in the chair. I said, honey, the Lord just showed me in a vision where my glasses are. She said, where are they? I said, well, you get out of that chair and I'll show you where they are. She got out of the chair. I picked the chair up and the glasses were under the chair and they'd been there for days and days. And I was wearing the old pair, you know. This is as strong as this is now. So, Ann Apker heard me tell that story. And she called me up one day, frantic. She had a $100 check. She needed it desperately. She lost it. She couldn't find it. She'd been looking for hours and hours and hours. And I said, Sister Ann? She didn't know. She didn't hear the story. That's right. I gave her the check. She called me up to find out if I could give her another check. I said, Ann, before I have to do that, why don't you go to your room and pray? And you call me up as soon as the Lord shows you where that lost check is. She did what I said faithfully. She went up in the room. I don't know how long later it was, probably within an hour. She called. She said, I ceased looking for it. I went up and I prayed for it. I asked God where it was. She called me back and she said, you know where it was? You know where you do dishes and the kitchen window is right over the sink? She had it right there behind some little knickknack. The Lord showed her where it was. She went right down and got it. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Yes. To lead you and guide you and show you these things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise. You have witnessed in your life and you have said something to somebody and they're wondering how you found out. You didn't find out. The Holy Ghost showed you. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been outnumbered? Just remember. And you probably found this out when the Holy Ghost is in you. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you might be outnumbered, but you're never outpowered.
Praise God.
Because who's going to stand against the Holy Ghost? Amen. Yes. Amen. How many times have we ever gone to the altar and said, Lord, I got this problem, but I don't know how to pray. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
We know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let's stand. So when we come to pray tonight, you might say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but the Holy Ghost does. I don't know what to say, but the Holy Ghost does. I don't know how to pray, but the Holy Ghost will help you. Oh, let's clap our hands for the Holy Ghost tonight.